this year from what we've done in past years, and I'm hoping that it'll work. We've worked hard to put this together for you. And I want to let you know that there will be one motion on the floor at a time. We will hear discussion, and then we will vote. We're going to give people 5 minutes. If things start getting repetitive, I'm going to shut you off. I know everybody's got other plans today. We want to do this in a very civil manner, but we also want to get our business done as quickly as possible, but as thoroughly as possible. So with that said, I'd like to ask Linda to give us an opening prayer.
Well, before I do the opening prayer, I want to introduce somebody to you. She's sitting in the front row here. Her name is Joanne Prue. She is the only professionally registered parliamentarian in the state of New Hampshire. And she is my friend, and she also happens to teach parliamentary procedure at Plymouth State University as well. So she has graciously agreed to be here with us, and I'm very grateful to have her. So let's see, is there anything else I wanted to say? I guess not. Let's have a prayer. Loving and gracious God, we are so blessed to be the presence of your holy church here in Temple. And we ask you on this day to send your spirit to be among us, to fill our hearts with a sense of joy and purpose as this, your church of Jesus Christ. Help us to have insight, wisdom, good questions, respectfulness for one another. Fill our hearts with a desire to remember to treat one another with reverence. We thank you, God, for calling us all here and ask you to bless us with your vision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So Rob wanted me to let you know that this meeting is being recorded to help Patty in compiling the minutes afterwards.
Sounds funny, Rob.
It does.
Tweet some birds.
Okay, so the minutes from last year's meeting are in your book. Hopefully everybody's read them. Hopefully everybody's read them, and if not, they're there for you to read. We're going to ask Linda to give us a pastor's report.
Jeez. Didn't keep you happy.
Boy, oh boy, I'm earning my pay today. I just don't need to repeat what I have already written in my pastor's report here in the annual report, so I urge you to take a peek at page 44. I decided to begin, I mean, I really haven't been with you that long, only a few months, and so I have got a very small portion of your year to report as your pastor. One of the things that I was thinking about as when I wrote this was about my experience at our United Church of Christ General Synod, which happens every 2 years. In 2011, it was in Tampa, Florida. And I urge each and every one of you, if you ever have the opportunity to go to a general synod, do it. It is, every time I go, I come back so excited and so wishing that you all, you know, my church members could be there. The inspiration that we get from that experience is an inspiration that makes us see a larger vision of the church. And it also is an inspiration that really touches our heart about the ways in which we're connected to one another, you know, from town to town, from state to state, and across the whole nation and across the world. And the way that we're connected, of course, is by our faith in Jesus Christ. So, you know, there's an energy that happens, an energy that we hopefully bring back to our churches, an energy and some learning and some inspiration. And what I got from that experience really is very meaningful to me in my experience with you as a church, you know, even in this day, because what we are as a community of faith, you know, is much larger and bigger than what we do here. One of the things that is not only part of our local church experience, but it's a denomination-wide experience, is the fact that we are a church of diminishing numbers. And really what this means to us is we don't really have time to just sort of remain with the status quo. We need to look at redefining ourselves and who we are as a church in this day and age. And so these are the kinds of things that are in me and a part of me as we do work in our local churches. For me, my main priority that most of my report is right now, is looking forward. And that is that, you know, it's important to me and to us, I think, that we pay attention to nurturing a spiritual community. And as you could tell by my sermon, I'm sure, you know, that to me is our number one priority. When we do that, when we become a peaceful, joyful, faithful community, it becomes, as I said in my sermon, contagious. It becomes something that people want to be around. You know, I have served churches where there has been division, and those are churches that, unfortunately, when people come to that, they say, I got a lot of this stuff in my normal day-to-day life. I don't want to deal with that when I go to church. So we really need to pay attention to ourselves and our community in the way that we live out our faith with one another. You can't hear me? Can you hear me? Oh, good. Okay. Dream and vision is another thing I talked about in my report. And there is huge, enormous potential here in this church, not only in the corporeal, the physical kind of resources that we have available to us, but in the faithfulness that I have seen in this community. I know that you have been through some really tough times, and I see you people have stayed. And that means a lot to me. And in my conversations with so many of you, you have conveyed how much this church means to you. So that's a big deal. That's a big deal to me, because I believe that that's what it takes for us to be able to move forward. So I urge you to read my report. I also pray that I will be able to serve you as your pastor as we step into the future in the best way that I can, for whatever that future will be, whatever that future holds. As your pastor, I need to tell you that I need you. I need your faithfulness. I need your energy. I need your gifts. We need each other. So with that, having been said, I end my report.
Thank you, Linda. And now Shirley will give us the clerk's report.
I won't read every bit of it, but there were two baptisms. There were two baptisms, and we had five funerals of members of the church. There were four non-members who passed. We have two new members who have joined the church back in December, and we had resignations from five members, and there was one wedding performed on August 4th.
Thank you, Shirley.
Also, under baptism, it doesn't reflect the Wyatt baptism.
So correction was, we have an additional baptism of Wyatt Cullinan, and spelling correction for Cassandra Cullinan. Thank you.
And to help those with needing hearing assistance, can you hear this one too? Yeah. We'll pass the microphone around when people are talking in future.
So we've asked each of the committee chairs to give a brief report to you. They're going to make it short because their full reports are in the book, but we're going to ask for a brief report from each committee, starting with the deacons.
A brief summary of the deacons' work in this past year of 2012 cannot exclude mention of their work for the past several years. The role of deacon has been quite demanding due to addressing the need to assign interim and pulpit supply ministers during the search process for a settled pastor. It does fall within their realm, and at times that we have the need, the deacons step up to the plate. With the hiring of Reverend Linda High, our role in the ministry of the church has now turned a corner as we focus on a new direction with her guidance. It is our pleasure to support the ministry of Reverend High while maintaining the usual functions that fall in the familiar deacon's quote-unquote job. It is with this assignment of a settled pastor that work resumed in the direction and action to refurbish and renovate the sanctuary, and we, as the deacons, will move forward as directed appropriately, even at the close of the annual meeting. We also focused on updating the membership list, getting in contact with many who have not been in touch, and making a concerted effort to announce our exciting news of hiring Reverend High. In summary, the deacons have been and continue to faithfully serve to the glory of the Lord and this congregation. Thank you.
Thank you, Vivian. Christian Ed.
Okay, first of all, I want to say the kids are back. We have two classes for Sunday school. Felicia's teaching 18 months to 4 years old. Sydney Thomas is teaching middle school age children. Bessie and I sit in on classes to fulfill our requirements for safe children policy. And everything is going well with each of these classes. And we even have visitor kids come in, which is great. I'm hoping to keep them to coming too.
Thank you, Pam. Missions Committee.
Hi. Okay, my palms are sweaty, my heart is beating, I'm so nervous, but I can do this. So, missions had a quiet year. Marty joining has been a wonderful kind of burst of enthusiasm, and she's been doing awesome things with Church World Service, collecting emergency things for buckets, etc. And hopefully this year we'll have some more energy, and with the guidance of Linda, I'm really excited. So, yay, thank you.
Thank you, Vicki. Music Committee.
That's Rob's, and so just give me a second here to get organized. We're missing our chair, of course, in that Tom Baker has left the church and headed to Connecticut. And so one of the first things we need to do is to say thank you, Tom, for all the years of work you put into music in the church here. We've enjoyed having Lisa Murray as our church musician. She's been advancing greatly on the organ, learning how to make friends with it, and in particular, I've been bringing all sorts of pieces of the classical organ repertoire to her, and for instance, the pieces she played today were just fantastic, and I'm loving the music, for one. We give thanks for our summer organist, Isabel Breton, on July 25th, and as has happened many years in the past and will happen in the future, we had Monadnock Music here for their summer concert. The church was absolutely packed, and it was a great concert with organ and trumpet, something I helped organize too. We give our heartfelt thanks to our church secretary, Patty Doyle, for helping prepare the music each week. It is a huge job, and it may not go unsung, if you excuse the pun. Looking forward, I think it's going to be a very exciting year for music. We'll bring some special events in later in the year. We'll bring in different sorts of music, and I think you'll enjoy it. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Now, we're going to have the trustees' report, and this is where this is going to get even a little more different. Jay is going to review the 2012 budget. We're not going to discuss the 2013 budget until later in the meeting. He's going to give you a synopsis of what happened in 2012.
If you don't believe that things are different around here, I never thought I'd be doing this. So. Thank you, Reverend, for everything. I do appreciate that. Usually in my annual report, I start out by saying that we met regularly to act on matters concerning buildings and property, along with our financial affairs. You can look in your bylaws and you will see the same thing printed there. I don't see any reason not to start it out now the same way. I have served on the trustees in the past, as many of you know, but I can tell you one thing. The trustees' job and responsibilities are certainly a lot different today than they was in years gone past. Linda alluded to the fact that our membership are going down and we need to make changes, and this world has made a lot of changes over the course of the years. We have spent time in creating job descriptions and working on safe space policies along with other policies. We have had a local lawyer who has volunteered her time to help us with some legal issues, which we do appreciate. We also have written a policy concerning handling our finances, among other things. Roger Dale, who was our interim, encouraged us as committees to have trust that each one of our committees would be doing the jobs that they were charged in their bylaws. And he worked to encourage us. And I think as trustees, we have been very grateful for the fact that it seems like all of us are talking more and more to each other, and also in a lot friendlier manner than has been in the past. We have encouraged a open and dialogue, and we are, and Reverend High has brought a fresh perspective to our congregation here and to the trustees. Partly, I noticed as trustees, there seems to be a renewed energy. I'm hoping this is just the fact that we got somebody new, and she doesn't know us yet to find out how horrible we are, which I never ever thought that, but it is a encouraging sign that we are going to be going forward and be talking. Do we always agree with each other? No, we don't. And have we always agreed with Reverend High? No, we haven't. But it seems to me that's the strength of a congregational church, that we should all give all ideas and opinions prayerful concerns before we make a decision. I know in the past we haven't done that, and we've gotten ourselves into trouble because of it. In closing, I would like to thank all of my fellow trustees, Mike Clayton, Mary Lanthea, Jennifer Dollar, along with Sandy Bernardi and Treasurer Dick Bernardi and, of course, Reverend High, for all the hard work that they have done on our board. We as trustees realize that we need to look after our resources, and we have tried to do that as to the best of our ability. But one of the resources that we have, that above all, whatever else we have for finances, is, I'm looking at you now, there are so many people in our church. There are some that are what I call the busy workers. They seem to be doing so much. They're on different committees. They're going to the UCC. They're doing that. And we do appreciate your effort on our behalf. But there are also others that, if I named them, would be very angry with me. But one of the ones I want to point out is the fact that I was asked when we were working on the parsonage to do some raking out of some gravel there, and I wasn't feeling that well, so I called Laura up to see if I could get Mike to help me. He was doing this thing called RURIC, but Ben Clayton came down and was willing to help me out, and I hope, Mike, you didn't bawl him out, because I know how much you wanted to help me doing that. But there are other people, whether you come to our worship, whether you buy extra food to put in the food bank, whether you bake for bake sales, or just whether you pray for us, that is a resource above all else, and I do appreciate that, and thank you all very much.
Thank you, Jay.
And now I'm going to go on the budget, and I've got my paper full of stuff, so please be with me. The your budget is found on 46, 47, 48, and 49. And again, as Debbie said, I will be just reviewing the 2012 budget.
Would you be more comfortable sitting?
Yeah.
Maybe
I'm never comfortable anyway. But thank you. I will start out, and hopefully I remember to do that because I tend to read from left to right. I will start out with the different categories and just review them very quickly. And the first category would be an income category. This includes the chapel rent offerings, the Don Rosher account, the UCC income, Verizon bonds, miscellaneous funds, and a new one here is surplus funds, but a transfer, I will talk more about that when we get to the 2013. The total inflows, which was budgeted for, was $228,438. And the actual inflows was $219,547. That nets, I'll go to the expense category, and we will start with the Christian Ed category, which includes adult education, Sunday school, the youth camp, youth group activities, and other Christian Ed. The budget here was for $5,500, and the total spent was $1,292. I will go to the church properties, which includes the chapel, the church, the parish house, garage and land, summer maintenance, winter maintenance, and the fuel oil. Budgeted for this category was $28,100, and actual spent was $32,722. There is a couple of overspending spends here, the parish house being one of these properties. The reason why this went over was a lot to do with the fact that we had some alarm problems, and we also had to replace a water heater that we didn't anticipate. I have a printout from Dick, if you want, but I haven't gone over it all. There were also some mice issues. We had some pest control, that tended to run that over. I don't know if anything else went over. Oh, the chapel. Went over mostly because of the fact that we got into when we were doing the electrical work for the old part of the chapel. It just went way over what we thought. It's one of those items, as everybody know, when they renovate and you have wires pulled out, it's kind of, you just have to spend it. Also, the water pump in the chapel, which basically takes and stabilizes the water for the chapel and also pumps it to the town buildings up above us. That blew up and that had to be replaced. So that's why that went over. The next category is denomination obligations, which includes the Hillsborough Association and OCWN, One Church, World Missions. That was budgeted for $3,650. The actual amount was $3,683, and as people can see, that the Hillsborough Association caused that to go over. That is a dues we pay based on the list of our active members. Okay, electricity was a niche category, which includes the church and Friendship Hall and the parish house. We had budgeted $4,000 for that in 2012. The actual amount spent on that was $2,974. Our next category is insurance, which is property, workman's compensation, and auto insurance. We budgeted $7,500. The actual amount spent was $8,196. Amount went up because the insurance went up, probably because of what was going on in the world. The insurance companies tend to react. I had talked to Dick Benotti, and he said that they had indicated that it was supposed to go down next year.
Don't hold your breath.
Supposedly, quote. Hey, you have to have faith.
I do.
The next category is the ministry, and this is the interim ministry. We had Roger Daly, who I believe came in mid-March and left the end of September. That includes the housing allowance, medical and dental, salary, social security, vision insurance, travel expense, and other ministry. The total budgeted for this was $39,214, and the actual amount was spent was $39,420. Then we had this category called the pastoral search, hence this is why we have Reverend High here. And the budgeted amount for that was $16,000. The actual amount was $2,346. Reasoning why that happened was that was budgeted a little higher because the search committee didn't know who they were going to call, and part of the compensation includes moving expenses. So that is why that came out to that. Our next category is our settled pastor, which includes the annuity, continuing ed, dental, health benefits, housing allowance, the ministry health fund, mileage, the salary, Social Security, and the professional expense. 2012 budgeted was $31,637, and I have $33,081. It's a little different from, it says, no, $35,427. So, okay, the next thing was the stewardship that's its own line, and that was budgeted for $400. They spent $382. The next category, which is the operation expense, which includes babysitting, the church bus, government taxes, the historian, office expense, salary, administrative assistant, and the treasurer. That in 2012 was budgeted for $39,150, and the total was actual spent was $36,435. And if you look at the office expense, it went way over. A big factor in this is that we had some really major issues with our copying machine. We had to call them a couple times to fix the old copier. They were very expensive repairs, and we finally decided that it would be more cost efficient to purchase a new copier, along with the fact that we are becoming a lot more active church, and we are using a lot more supplies. Okay, now, the next expense is the missions, is what's category. This includes the mission committee, the food bank, Pastor's discretionary fund, and the scholarships. And the 2012 budget was budgeted for $36,000, and the actual expense was $33,616. The next expense was category was the worship and music, which includes the flower committee, music director salary, music events contingency, music supplies, organ maintenance, organists, deacons and worship aides, and the public supply, which is on there. I would want to make one mention of the deacons and worship aide because of the way it was in the budget last year. The public supplies was combined with the deacon's budget, and so you will see, we will talk about it shortly, but the budget was $33,600 for that. The actual spent for the deacons was $393. But the public supplies was $1,650, which makes for a total of $2,043. Total worship and music budgeted was $21,520, and the actual spent was $14,960. We have a final item. The total expense was budgeted for $216,671. I mean the budget, I'm sorry. The actual expense was $207,457. Oh, I'm sorry, $209,107, if I added that extra. That basically is the budget. Is that it, Deb?
Yeah, I think okay. So. Thanks, Jay. Building committee. Oh, Vivian.
I'm just wondering if there's something to note on the, if there's a difference of the amount. Is this the proper time to point it out or not? Or address it at the end?
I think that if there's a difference, right, that it's more of a historical thing, that we can bring it up at the council meeting and ask Dick to correct the records.
It's just an amount.
Yeah. It changes the amount at the end. So we can just, we'll do it as a historical change. Thanks. Building committee, do we have a report? No, Billy. Mike? Dick isn't here, and he would usually give us the report. Well, we'll just reference the building committee report and ask everybody to read it, because we just put Mike on the spot. Stewardship committee.
This year's theme for stewardship was delight in giving, and we designed a letter and used the UCC logo and printed envelopes and sent them out to 62 people. We had around 20 returns, and the total pledges were around $15,000. We thank all of you for your commitment and support of the church. Pardon me. We also sent out time and talent cards, and that was used by the nominating committee. Moving ahead, we'll be supporting the 5 for 5 program with the UCC, basic support, one great hour of sharing, strengthening the church, neighbours in need, and the Christmas fund. And looking ahead, there are two things that will be coming up. One is we plan to set up a Wills workshop, which is not about me. I'm Robert Wills for your edification. But for those of us who maybe don't have things completely in order on the legal side, we'll be working, we'll bring in a lawyer and someone who's an expert in that area to help us to put things right. And the other thing is we brought a proposal to the last council meeting to participate in a UCC program which is called e-giving, and that is a way of doing our weekly or monthly offering through a credit card or a periodic payment. Some people are actually already doing that with the treasurer. They set up a periodic payment from their bank, but the council asked us to bring it to this meeting, so we do so, and there'll be a motion later, I presume. Okay. That's stewardship. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. The Pastoral Search Committee.
Thank you. It's hard to believe that a year ago at this time, we were very busy meeting and going through ministerial profiles and deciding who we were going to further our conversations with and who we were not. I almost don't remember it. We were very, very busy. We met very often, at least once a week, sometimes more. I want to thank everybody again, Tom Baker, Sandy Benatti, who was the corresponding secretary, Ben Clayton, Pam Worcester, who was the recording secretary for within our committee, Vivian Wills, who was our chaplain and kept us focused on what's really important and kept our minds on God, who was guiding us through this whole process. I also owe a great debt of gratitude to the conference minister, Reverend Gary Schulte, who basically held my hand through a lot of the process and helped bring me through it. Because when you haven't served, so I know many people here have served on minister search committees, but to go in there, it's sort of like going from the frying pan to the fire, and it's such a great responsibility. God bless you. Because our church is and was at a fragile juncture in its history, and how we would move forward would really be important to our church and the town. And I want to thank everybody for your support, the whole congregation, and again, the committee. We were a diverse group. We didn't agree on much on the surface, but when we worked very well together. We had very good discussions. Everybody's input was appreciated, and I believe that we recommended the best candidate and that the church called the best minister to serve our church at this time in this place. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Jennifer. Do we have a report from the Flower Committee? Okay. Would the ladies' aide like to give a report? Sandy's our co-chair on the ladies' aide, and she's not here.
Well, I wrote the report. It's pretty well. It says what we did. Yes, I know. Okay. We had a busy year. I mean, there were a number of funerals that we did, and people contributed, and lots of food, and everyone helped.
The Super Lunches are doing fantastic, and we think of Ruth, who started them. And Ruthie makes her rolls for every luncheon. We served on Good Roads Day, or Mary and Carolyn served coffee. And there were donations from families who had died, and we bought Easter plants and Christmas plants, and I send notes of condolence and or happy occasions to different people. I visit Mary Felt or Beth Felt. I haven't been up for a while because I had a cold, but I visit her quite often, and Mary and Priscilla and I still go to Pheasant Wood and Peterboro, and oh, I just love going there. We've met more friends, and a couple of them have died, and I feel bad, but one lady was 99. She was almost 100. She just died the other day. Her name was Rose, and she loved to sing, and as I said, we just love going there, and anyone who would like to come with us, we go on Thursday mornings. We're there between 10 and 11:30, and it's a fun time. And that's about it. We did the 4th of July with Connolly Ice Cream, and but as I said, we're a small group, and there's always room for more as far as Ladies' Aid goes. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirley. Four score.
It says it all on page 63.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for your reports. We appreciate everybody that's worked. And now we will go into new business. And I will make one mention of something that I forgot earlier in the meeting. Any questions as we go forward will be directed through myself. So we will go to the nominating committee report.
Excuse me.
Well, there's three of us on the committee, and our chairperson is in New Mexico, and that leaves two, so one of us had to be the one who came up here to speak. On page 72 and 73 is what we are going to be voting on. These are the people we have come up with, we've approached, and they have agreed to serve. I do have a few sort of additions, corrections. Linda Connolly was probably surprised to see she's serving in her third term. She is surprised, because according to the bylaws, you may not serve a third term. So she's actually serving the second half of her second term, so really that should say second by her name. The bylaws do ask us to have six deacons. We have five proposed. Let's see. Christian Ed, someone we did approach Amanda Holt, who agreed to serve, and her name is not here. It should be. So it should say Amanda Holt after Pam Worcester there under Christian Ed. And let's see, there's one other thing. The nominating committee itself, both Sydney and I are going to step down, and we needed two more people. Shirley Wilds agreed to serve for a one-year term. And I thought, really, I had asked Barbara Harling, but her name doesn't appear to be here. Do you want to agree to serve for a 1 year on the nominating committee? No, because I'd asked her and her name isn't here, and I don't know why. You don't know about anything. She doesn't know anything about that. That's why her name's not there. Okay. So that is an open position. And as my understanding, we're not doing nominations from the floor, so. Is that correct? That's correct.
That's correct.
So that's all I have to say, unless anyone has any questions.
Yeah, what we would do would we would be asking anyone that would be interested in serving in an open position to contact a member of the nominating committee. And what we'd like to do now is entertain a motion to accept the slate of candidates as recommended by the nominating committee. Vicki.
Benevolent?
Mm-hmm. This year it's which I think is great, because I was in nomination before last year that we all be one, but it got voted down. So my question is, how is this now? Are we one mission of the missions now benevolent scholarship? If not, if it is, we don't have to vote.
I do think we last year we said we were going to have to vote. Technically, we are supposed to have all these other committees. In reality, we have not the people to serve on them. What we did was kind of put it all under missions because of necessity, I'd say, because we don't have people to fill three committees that do similar jobs. Technically, I don't know if that's kosher. So that's how we did it. Yes.
Yes, Vicki.
It's already been mentioned that it's already been put under one, that we really don't need a motion because of the fact that we don't have the members to fulfill all three committees. It's jumping the gun on a bylaw change, but it was done out of necessity. And by accepting this slate of nominations...
I don't understand. I guess because we weren't in agreement last year that we wanted to put everything under missions. So last year, I guess I'm just a little confused. I mean, and I agree. I mean, because I put it to the floor, but I don't understand how one year it needs to be. The whole church needs to decide, and we need to make a motion. And this year. Because we didn't have that many committee members last year, and we does that.
I guess I just want to say when the nominating committee put this together, what Felicia is saying was, as I'll repeat it, a necessity. This is not in any means a reflection on the way the bylaws are, and we will be having a discussion about the bylaws and how they are serving us. Now or not serving us. So this is really about just getting the job done, mm-hmm. and we do need to have a further discussion about the bylaws.
Okay. So we'd like to entertain a motion to accept the slate as nominated by the nominating committee. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Helen and Milan. So we have a motion on the floor to accept the slate as given by the nominating committee. Do we have any discussion? If there's no discussion, I'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So the slate as nominated by the nominating committee has been approved by unanimous vote. We'll try this mic. So now the moment we've all been waiting for. And we're going to put Jay on the spot again and review the 2013 operating budget.
This is a relatively calm group, so it's not one of the things that I really am too scared about. I would like to just mention some things maybe a little bit different in this 2013 proposal on the budget than you've seen before. The trustees met time and time again, and we have had a lot of discussion as to how we present our budget. Our goal is to make everything clear to everybody. I know that Jennifer Dollar and Sandy Bonatti attended a conflict resolution workshop sponsored through the UCC, and one of the things that they bring to the trustees time and time again is the fact that we need to make everything clear And we also need to have our expectations very clear to everybody concerned. So we are have discussed the trustees that we will be continually to work on the format, and if we need to go to the UCC or whoever we need to go to that has a little bit more knowledge of it, we will. So stay tuned. Next year it may be just a little different, so please bear with us. All right, I am going to again go through the category. I gather, Madam Moderator, that you want to wait till we're all done and then have everybody comment. Is that the...
Yeah.
All right. For the 2013 budget, I'm going through the category. The first is income. Again, it includes chapel rent, offerings, Dan Rasha, UCC, Verizon bond, miscellaneous fund, and surplus fund transfer. This surplus fund transfer that you see was a cash account that we had through the Dan Rasher, evidently, when it was set up that a certain amount of money would go into this cash account. And it, my understanding, it was not a money market account. It kind of went up and down, and there was a charge. We came notice of that because we had a little bit of money in there and decided we didn't need to be giving away our money, when so we have decided that we would cash that in and close that out, and that is what that is showing right there. The total inflows for this category is $246,507. We then go to the Christian Ed. This includes added adult education, Sunday school, youth camp, youth group activities, and other Christian ed. The total that we have budgeted is $2,550. The next category is the church properties. It includes the chapel, church, parish house, garage land, and land, summer maintenance, winter maintenance, the fuel oil, and the total amount we budgeted for the church property is $23,297. The next category is denomination obligations, which includes the Hillsborough Association and OCWM. The total amount budgeted in this category is $3,700. The next category would be electricity, which includes the church and friendship hall and the parish house. The total amount budgeted would be $4,000. The next category would be the insurance, property, workman's compensation, and auto. The total amount budgeted for that is $7,500. We don't have an interim ministry anymore, so there's nothing budgeted in that, along with our pastoral search, because Jennifer has already said that they've already done that. We now have a settled pastor, and that is our next category, which includes the annuity, continuing education, the dental, the health benefits, housing allowance, ministry health fund, mileage, salary, Social Security, and professional expenses. The total budgeted for this category is $106,545. This category under miscellaneous is the stewardship. The total amount budgeted is $500. The next category would be operational expense, which includes babysitting, the church bus, government taxes, historian, the office expenses, and salary of the administrative assistant and the treasurer. The total amount budgeted is $42,950. The next category is the missions category, which includes the mission committee, the food bank, the pastor's discretionary fund, the scholarships, and the total amount budgeted for this is $39,000. The next category is the worship and music, which includes the flower committee, and also includes the music committee, the music director's salary, music events contingency, music supplies, organ maintenance, organists, deacons and worship aides, and we've added the pulpit supply, and the total budgeted under this category is $17,050. The total amount that we have budgeted is $247,092 versus the total income, which is $246,507, which gives a difference of $585. Thank you.
So I would entertain a motion to accept the budget as read, and if we have that in a second, we can then have discussion.
So
and second by Jennifer. So any questions or discussion on the budget? Sydney.
Sydney, can you come up? I tried and they wouldn't let me, so.
Yeah, the deacons had pursued estimates on possible, and I emphasize possible because it's obviously something that has to be agreed upon by everyone. Renovations, slight changes, for the front of the sanctuary. And I don't see any, you know, provision. So if we were to move ahead with that, I mean, does that come under a different category? Or, I mean, did you talk about that at the trustee meetings? And I know that Dick and I were the ones who met with the contractor.
Good question. We've talked about it, but I believe our collective thing was that until the annual meeting gives us some directions, it would be a little bit premature to be putting a number in our budget. So, we did talk about it, but that is why we did not put it in the budget. I think I should... matter of fact, I did forget I went a little bit. I should have gone a little bit further. And say that underneath all of this, you will notice that there's a capital maintenance, capital improvement, and a sabbatical fund. We as trustees have been concerned about the fact that we do not plan ahead, and it seems like we put out fires all the time. So we have proposed 7,400 sits in the capital improvement and in the sabbatical fund, because with Linda's covenant, in 5 years she's going to have a 3-month sabbatical, and if she doesn't take it, she's completely insane. That would add a total of $9,406. But we put that outside of the budget because we felt we really needed it, provided what our fortunes were. Hopefully we can fund that. But no, it was not put directly into our budget.
Well, obviously it's something that the whole congregation has to look at and agree upon. I'm wondering, did it come before the council at some point? Did Dick or... Linda, did you?
No. We have talked about it in council. I mean, Linda may want to speak more to it, but again, there's just numbers are being thrown out, and we really don't have a firm estimate. And again, it's this annual meeting that will make a decision.
Well, I guess it's a good idea to have some kind of a fund, you know. Looking toward the future, I don't know if maybe it couldn't be done this year, even if people agreed upon it.
I was of the opinion that we had, excuse me, may I speak?
Yes,
no. I thought the deacons had like $10,000. Oh, damn, I'm sorry. I thought, you know, we had said, well, last year we'll need about $10,000. And I said to Dick, so we didn't spend it. Yes, nope, we spent your money, but we've still got it somewhere, but we spent your money on, when we had interim ministers that we were paying. So all our money went there, but so it's not in our budget. That's how he explained it to me, which didn't make any sense, but what do I know?
Thank you.
Sorry.
Sydney, the council has been talking about this, and I actually have asked the chair of our deacons to give a little report on the progress a little bit later in our agenda of the work that's been done so far for a little bit of research and the numbers and the work that you did as well, just to give the congregation an update of where it is. Yes, it is so that it is not in the budget at this time because there has not been any kind of official decision to move forward with that this year, as our chair of our deacons will give us a little more insight into where it's at. This doesn't mean that something like this can't happen in the year 2013. It's just kind of an unknown for us. If it were to happen and we did get to a place where we were ready, we felt we were ready, then this would we would end up calling a special meeting of the congregation to have a conversation and to figure out how we're going to make it happen. So just because it's not here doesn't mean that it won't happen in 2013.
So do we have any more questions? Milan.
Just okay. A food for thought. Yeah, I got inspired a little bit by reading our expenditure on electricity and oil. If you look at those two items, we spent close to $11,000 a year between oil and electricity. And I wonder if, as a future direction, we could look into is some sort of self-made source of renewable energy, as maybe consider instead of spending annually year after year after year $11,000, we could think about setting aside a portion of it. It's like a pre-investment, and think about putting a solar panels maybe on both on the parish house and possibly even on a sanctuary roof. Then we could provide this electricity or energy ourselves, and possibly even, you know, sell it back to PSNH. It's just a thought.
Any other questions or discussion?
There are many people in the community that feel like can't come into this building, and the reason is mold, and there's no doubt the building does have a mold problem. I can show you mold growth in various places, and you can smell it. So I've brought this up for several years, and I would ask that this be included as an important part of the sanctuary renovation. It follows in the same area as rearranging the furniture, but I think getting things in our foundation sorted out are just as important. Also second Milan's view, and I would love to see this our facilities powered with renewable energy so that future generations don't face oil bills and electric bills. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
I can verify some of the mold problems. Underneath here, there's a door on the side,
And Dick and I went investigating, and we found a box of books that was absolutely so full of mold that we could not even pick the box up. We dragged it out, and the books were so moldy. They were older books, but we had to throw them out. They were just covered with mold. Also, back here in your deacon's closet, there's another door way in there, and we pulled stuff out of there. It wasn't moldy, but it sure smelled awful musty. And again, we had a very old Bible that I picked up, and it literally fell apart onto the floor in my hands. I just started to open it, and it just fell apart. So we had to throw away some things. So there is mold, especially under here. Don't put anything storage under there.
Okay, thank you. So now I'm going to ask that if any other further comments about that, we could speak about them under the sanctuary remodel renovation on here. But if this pertains to the actual budget, I would entertain any further questions or comments. We'll do it after we get done with the budget. Okay, if there's no other comments, we have a motion on the floor. Oh, I'm sorry. I cannot. I think we'd have to ask Dick, and he's not here unless Jay knows the answer.
We did not put that in the deacon's budget, Rob. It was our feeling that this was a, I'm trying to remember the name, capital improvement, because you were going to make things better over there. And we were going to assign that to the capital improvement and take it out of there. But if your question is, do we support that? Of course, the answer is yes, we do. I've had Meniere's disease, and I lost 40% of my hearing in one of my ears, and I'm very sensitive to people with hearing disabilities. So, it is in the budget, but it's not under the deacons.
Thanks, Jay, for that explanation. We have a motion on the floor to accept the budget as 2013 budget as presented, and we have a second. We already had a second. So all in favor of the budget, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes in the unanimous affirmative. So our next order of business is this was a discussion at council meeting, and it was suggested that we form a committee to bring forward possible bylaw changes. We felt that the annual meeting was the best place to do this. So I would entertain a motion from someone on the floor to authorize the nominating committee to appoint a bylaws change committee. Okay. Vicki is making the motion. Second by Mike. Any discussion on that? Okay, if there's no discussion, the motion is to authorize the nominating committee to appoint a bylaws change committee. It was made by Vicki, seconded by Mike. Everybody in agreement, please say aye. Anybody opposed? So that passes in the unanimous affirmative. Now, this is where we can get into some more discussion. We also discussed in the council meeting that we ask this meeting to authorize the church council to appoint a task force. And let's get this on the floor, and then we'll have Vivian. So we're going to have Vivian give us a report on it. But what we're looking for is to appoint a task force to continue the task of researching the remodel and renovation of the sanctuary and bring something at a special meeting to the congregation. The church council had discussed this and felt that we wanted a sampling of the whole congregation, and the deacons have been doing a wonderful job, which Vivian will give you the report on, but we felt that we should get more people involved, and that's why we're bringing it to the floor. So if I could have a motion on the floor to authorize the council to appoint a task force. Moved by Jay. Do I have a second? Second by Pam. And now we'll have Vivian give us a presentation, and then we'll go into some discussion on that.
Hi again. If I am wrong about one of the things I'm about to say, I would just ask that somebody might correct me.
Okay.
So, there you go. Give me the old swat. During the year 2010, and that is what I'm needing to be corrected on if I'm wrong, during the year 2010, the deacons began discussion of the possibility of renovating the chancel of the church to address needs of creating a more open and inviting worship space, inclusive of handicapped accessibility and other safety concerns. In addition, the time for refurbishing the sanctuary with paint, floor refinishing, and mold remediation, just so you know, that was included in my report, etc., that includes all kinds of other miscellaneous stuff, is at hand. Steps taken so far include a survey of church members, artwork beautifully and diligently done and contributed by Sydney Thomas, consulting with and receiving 5 architectural drawings of possibilities from architect Rick Monahan, and as of December 2012, Ingram Construction was invited to come here and do a hypothetical look at some of the plans and possibilities. They're a company with known experience, especially in our town, but in particular in church renovation projects. And they submitted a first pass at an estimate of cost for some of this work. I did not put these full numbers on here. First of all, these were estimates of cost, ballpark figures, and I would be happy to tell anybody that once I sit down and I can access the numbers from my phone. In 2013, the process will continue to move ahead with the blessing of the fact that we now have a settled pastor and we really have more opportunity for vision and really progress. The process will continue to move ahead with discussion and plans for how best to accomplish the needs we face in accomplishing this goal for renovations and restorations. Included are cost factors of the many facets of the needs to be addressed. And if anything, I would like you to just focus on that particular piece right there. Many facets to be addressed. Time elements of how to best address all of these measures and suggestions that we know are upon us. Ongoing worship space. During the renovations, where are we going to be worshiping and how are we going to accomplish that? The length of time it's going to be needed to do so. The care of, protection, and storage, if necessary, of our dear and beloved John Soul Tracker organ. It is an issue. It is something to be considered without any bucking on that one. And that's advised in, as advised, in addition to what more work is ahead when finalizing a plan. So, it's a tall order, and it's just not going to be a decision made overnight. In response to Sydney's questions, yes, are in committee. Thank you. As Linda had so appropriately answered, that when that time comes, there will absolutely will have to be a special meeting called, and decisions on costs and all that stuff will happen at those times, and it's just going to require a lot more work. And we are ready for that. You know, we just need to muster up the strength and full steam ahead. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. While this seems to be a tall order, the work is well underway. We encourage the input from all members that leads to a healthy, productive outcome to the project. Speaking of health, this is in my chicken scratch. From a health standpoint, anyone doing any work that might require removal of moldy materials, please make the effort to protect yourself. Gloves, masks, anything.
Well, has a full
the body effects, body. The long-term effects of mold getting into your system, into your lungs, on your fingers, and it can be devastating. And there are people that have lifelong diseases because of this. I have a full box of masks at home that I bought for our own moldy boxes that I'm opening at home, and I'll be happy to share them. I'll have them available here. I'm going to put it on my list. But please take care. We do need to be diligent to take care of all of us as we're moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. So do we have any discussion or any further questions? Jay.
Some people just like to get up here and blab. You know how it is. A couple of thoughts occurred to me. One is, I do admire the deacons for taking the lead on this. You have done an enormous job. But I just wondered if, as you go forward with this, if you or whether the deacons should be the ones to continue to do that, or should it be a task force? I mean, it's just something to throw out. And as far as health and safety issues, I kind of thought, you know, whoever would be doing this would be a contracting crew. And believe me, if they don't want to get in trouble with the OSHA, they will definitely, but it was a good point. The other issue I think Rob mentioned and Milan has mentioned is the fact that when we're going through this renovation, do we want to start looking at how we can save energy? I know at council meeting Rob was making, we were talking about maybe doing something different for the furnace down there, and he was mentioning something about a heat pump. I would like to get more information on that when we're going through all of this. We also have had Gary Vos inspect this facility, and it was one of his recommendations, which Rob has been for year after year after year, that we put a plastic sheet, which has been done at the town hall, I understand. So definitely, this has to be looked at in its entirety. We've talked about it at council meeting, and the more and more I hear about it, the more and more it's not going to be simple, and there's got to be a lot more discussion about that.
Thank you, Jay. Well, you think this one's going? Okay, Vivian.
I echo what Jay said and started off with, that some people just can't shut up. So here I am back again. I just wanted to make sure that I'm correct, that actually the motion on the floor is that this will direct the council. I can assure you, Jay, How many times can I now emphasize and assure you that the deacons do not want this in their purview? Thank you.
Thank you, Vivian. So we have a motion on the floor.
I'd just like to comment also that historically it started as a group, I think, that Vicky was part of, I was part of, and Graham launched. And it really was music committee, deacons and others as a starting place. And then we sort of handed over to the deacons for the fundamental concept part. Thank you.
So moved by Jay and seconded by Pam to authorize the church council to appoint a task force to continue the task of researching the remodel renovation to the sanctuary. If there's no further discussion, all in favor? Any opposed? So that is a vote in the unanimous. Now, it's not on your agenda, but we do have one other piece of business that Rob had brought up, and I have a motion from Rob that the church approves and supports using UCC e-giving as an additional means of contributing offerings on a weekly, monthly, or annual basis. So Rob has given this to me in writing. Do we have a second on this? That the church approves and supports using UCC e-giving as an additional means of contributing offerings on a weekly, monthly, or annual basis. And that is motion was made by Rob and seconded by Milan. So Rob, could you explain what this is?
Sure. I have a brochure here from the UCC, and it has frequently asked questions, and I'll start reading them, and when you feel like you've heard enough of them, someone can put their hand up and stop me. What is UCC e-giving? It's the automated giving program of the United Church of Christ designed to make it easy for givers to give. How is it automatic? Once you authorize the transfer, your specified contribution is electronically transferred directly from your checking or savings account to your church's account. Your church may also offer the option of giving by credit or debit card or by texting. My church asks for an annual pledge of financial support. Is this the same thing? You'll still make a pledge. Electronic giving just helps you fulfill it. For those who don't practice pledging, electronic giving still works. What are the advantages? It saves you time and effort, and your church benefits from more stable contribution levels. When will my contribution... Oh, we'll skip some of those. Is electronic funds transfer risky? Electronic contribution is less risky than a check contribution. It cannot be lost, stolen, or destroyed. It has an extremely high rate of accuracy. How much does it cost? It costs you nothing and it saves you time. What if I try it and don't like it? It's absolutely voluntary. You can cancel or change your authorization by notifying the church at any time, but once you've enjoyed the benefits, we doubt you'll want to go back. How do I sign up? It's easy. Complete and sign the authorization form provided by your church. Return to your church office, or we may set it up so that you could sign up on the church website. How will I participate in the offering of gifts during worship? Your church may give you offering envelopes with a box to check if your contribution was made electronically, or special slips to put in the offering plate. So that's pretty much it. It's really just another way of giving, and I think for many of us, like we're away for summer, we would continue to give through the summer through a program like this because we're not here to put a check in the plate.
So is there any discussion or questions regarding this? Jay.
I was wondering... I have a comment and a question, so I'll do the question. I was wondering, you said that it costs the individual nothing. Is the same amount, is that for the church? Does it cost the church nothing?
I presume there's a small fee if it's credit card, and I presume if it's bank transfer, it would be nothing. So, same as we're doing now.
May I make a comment?
Yes, you may.
I understand it, and maybe it's just the fact of my age. I wouldn't be interested in it, but I just see no harm in
If other people are, I really see no harm in it.
Any further questions or discussion?
No, not at all. It's another way for someone who may want to give regularly from their checking account. And in fact, Dick told us that he's already doing this. He has some, you know, when you talk to your bank, you can say, I'd like $10,000 to be transferred to the church each month on the 30th of the month. And so there is someone who's already doing that. I doubt it's that much. But this is a program that makes it easier to manage that and also gives people other options for paying. And it means that we don't have to run around and look, if you so choose, you don't have to run around and look for an envelope on Sunday morning.
Do you have information you could give to her?
That the church approves and supports using UCC e-giving as an additional means of contributing offerings on a weekly, monthly, or annual basis. Any further questions or discussion? So moved by Rob and second by Milan that the church approves and supports using UCC e-giving as an additional means of contributing offerings on a weekly, monthly, or annual basis. All those in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes. So we have come to the end of our agenda, and I thank everybody for their participation. And we would ask Linda for a closing prayer. Barbara. Okay.
Do we really need to have all the council meeting minutes in our annual report?
Everybody who comes to the council meeting can have a copy. So there are 12 months, 12 meetings, and if you weren't at the meeting, I think maybe Patty could keep a binder at the parish house with all the minutes of the meetings, or you could call her and ask for it to be sent to you by email, or you can maybe even have one here at the church to pick up. But I think all the printing of these annual reports, we can cut them down by eliminating the council meetings. That's just suggestions. It's open to whatever anybody else thinks about it.
Straw vote. Do a straw vote on.
Okay, why don't we'll do a straw vote. All those in favor of eliminating the council meeting minutes from the annual report, raise your hands. That looks like the majority, so we'll let Patty know. She already knows. We'll inform the council. So
I was going to say, my Ladies' Aid report got sent to everyone in Ladies' Aid, and it's in here, and that's a lot of paper. Yeah, that's a lot of paper. So recycle it at the school.
Move to have a closing prayer.
Pardon?
I move that we have a closing prayer.
Let us pray together. Dear God, we give you thanks for the leadership of this meeting. We give you thanks for the intentional and caring presence of each and every member who is gathered here today. We give you thanks, dear God, for blessing us with these relationships that we have with one another. And we pray that we will continue to move forward into this year and into the years ahead, remembering to love one another, remembering to follow your way, remembering that we're here to do your mission. Bless us now as we go through our day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Linda. And now we would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Okay. Okay, moved by Shirley, second by Rob to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned at 1:15.